we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Ledger owners lose over 1 million Ripple to a homoglyph attack. Police pilot program will live stream neighborhood ring cameras. Pervasive Windows ransomware strain is now targeting the Linux OS. And big tech moves quickly to quash election truthers. Hello, everybody. This is Mark Cheftovic with another episode of the Access of Easy Weekly Digest. This is edition 171, which means the show notes for this week are at accessofeasy.com/171. Last week's quote was, "A society that puts equality before freedom will get neither. A society that puts freedom before equality will get a high degree of both." That was Milton Friedman, and sadly, nobody got it. This week's quote is, "We are experiencing how history is being made and politics carried on with words that have no content. What is depressing is that there is little inclination to realize this very thing." This is going to be a tough one, so if anybody gets it, I'm going to give you 2 years of web hosting or domain name renewals, and I'll even throw in a hint, whoever said it in 1916. You know the rules, no searching it up online. I actually don't think you would find this one online anyway, and post the correct source of the quote to the show notes page and collect your prize. Ledger owners lose over 1 million XRP to a homoglyph attack. XRP are ripples, and a lot of cryptocurrency holders use the Ledger hardware wallet to store their Bitcoin and their other cryptocurrencies. To keep it off the exchanges, this is a smart way to do it. You know the old expression, not your keys equals not your coins. Anyhow, the problem is if you do fall prey to a phishing campaign to lure you to a fake site to update your firmware that instead drains your wallet, that's what happened to a lot of Ledger users through a combination of a data leak earlier in the year that let people obtain the contact info, including emails of Ledger users, then some targeting phishing campaigns against those users that were revealed in that earlier data leak, and then finally a homoglyph attack that used an IDN-enabled domain name that visually looked like ledger.com, but it actually wasn't. One of the E's in Ledger was actually from a foreign character set. So instead of upgrading their firmware, drained their Ledger, and it took them for about 1.1 million Ripple, which is about $250,000 USD. Keep in mind, if you're running a website that has a login or any other function that makes you a target of phishers, our soft-launched DomainSure suite at DomainSure.com does detect phishing attack sites, including homoglyphs. So if somebody registers a homoglyph that looks like your domain name, DomainSure is going to detect that and let you know about it. Send me an email at markjr@easydns.com if you want more details on DomainSure. Police pilot program will live stream neighborhood ring cameras. This is happening in Jacksonville, Mississippi, where the local police force has announced a 45-day pilot program where participating homeowners will live stream their video doorbells, including Amazon Ring devices. A report by the Electronic Frontier Foundation details how homeowners will be able to patch the data stream from their doorbells directly into the police force's real-time crime center. And then those video streams are going to include anything within the field of vision of those devices, like people entering and exiting the homeowner's house, people, pets, things traversing the area out front, neighbors across the street, etc. All that will go to a control center whose video monitors will be under constant scrutiny by police staffing the facility. Amazon, for their part, issued a statement saying this is not really anything to do with us. They are not involved in the program. They're stressing that they are not making the Ring Neighbors app available to this program. It's all being done by the individual homeowners that own the devices themselves. Pervasive Windows ransomware strain now targeting Linux. So Linux isn't immune to various ransomware strains, but historically these types of attacks relied on phishing campaigns and had low levels of effectiveness, comparatively anyway, and that may be changing now. The Kaspersky Labs folks recently discovered a Linux port of the Ransom EXX ransomware. It's the first of its kind discovery of a major strain of Windows-based malware that's been ported to the Linux OS, which is installed and launched via a wholesale cyber breach into the victim organization's network. This type of malware is referred to as big game hunters by security researchers. They're used by gangs to scope out large enterprise and government targets who can't afford to be down, and thus they garner large payouts. Quote, these groups buy access or breach networks themselves, expand access to as many systems as possible, and then manually deploy their ransomware binary as a final payload to cripple as much of the target's infrastructure as possible. End quote. The ZDNet article speculates that this may be the early stages of an industry shift away from Windows-based workstations toward targeting a victim company's servers and central nervous systems. Calls grow to leave the GitHub quasi-monopoly. So it's looking like GitHub's decision to shut down multiple code repositories that were distributing the YouTube DL downloader package at the behest of the RIAA may not go unnoticed by the community there. We covered this in Access of Easy number 169, and that incident inspired a manifesto of sorts by Dr. Roy Shestowitz, posted to techrights.org. He summarized the entire situation as, quote, GitHub is a Microsoft censorship machine, and those who are still in denial about it are a lost cause, end quote. He goes on to say that GitHub was a lost cause before this RIAA incident, and it's just the beginning. It's not entirely correct to look at this as a profit maximization ploy by Microsoft, as much as Microsoft has shown through past history that they're willing to lose money indefinitely in a space in order to prevent anybody else from making money there. In short, protecting the quasi-monopoly is more important than anything else. Big tech moves quickly to quash election truthers. So the mainstream media projected the election for Biden early Saturday, and the much predicted lawsuits are flying. It looks like Biden will take it, but it's not actually official until all 50 states certify their results and the vote happens at the Electoral College. And right now there's at least three recounts going, as far as I can tell, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and myriad legal challenges. And so that might not be official till early December. I linked in the show notes to a good article on MarketWatch about all of the next steps that have to happen between here and the official certification of the election results. So it should come as no surprise then that citizen initiatives on the losing side are springing up to advance their claims of malfeasance. And I think this would be true regardless of who would have won the election. We all knew that coming into this. So both the Republicans and the Dems had already retained hundreds of lawyers ahead of November 3rd. I linked to an NPR article that describes what that sort of landscape looked like. There were already a record-setting number of lawsuits in motion even before Election Day. So what's also not surprising, although it doesn't make it any less disappointing, is how big tech also moved fast, picking and choosing outcomes and rapidly deplatforming groups and initiatives in their characteristically asymmetric manner. So here's a small sampling of what's happened since Election Day. Facebook deplatformed the Stop the Steal page, which, in the wake of the mainstream media calling the election for Biden on Saturday morning, this page was reported to be acquiring 50,000 new users per hour. So that's gone now. Facebook and TikTok were also blocking the Stop the Steal hashtag, but I just tested it on Facebook as I was getting ready to record this, and it looks like that hashtag is now allowed to circulate again. GoFundMe removed a fundraiser from its platform by a former Trump campaign advisor from 2016. His name's Matt Brainard. He set up a page to raise funds in order to purchase voter data for analysis because he wanted to compare data on early and absentee voting patterns against change of address and social security databases, looking for evidence of fraud. GoFundMe deemed that as spreading election misinformation, and they nuked the page. Also, alternative video hosting platform BitChute was knocked offline on election day, but they managed to get back online within 24 hours. BitChute is where a lot of people go after YouTube deplatforms them, so it was a bit of a hit for that to come down. I actually just sent some Tesla Q guys over to BitChute because they were asking me where they could go because they were having problems on YouTube. Twitter, for their part, slapped a fake news disclaimer over all of Donald Trump's tweets, so it's sort of business as usual there. And I've been clear on this for years. It should be no surprise what my opinion is on this. Tech platforms should not be picking who gets a voice and who doesn't. They should be running the internet plumbing, making sure it's structurally safe and legal, but otherwise staying the hell out of the way. You don't want your domain registrar or your software as a service vendor or your social media platform adjudicating what they think is true, what might happen, or who gets to have their say. Doing that, it's the height of grandiosity and self-importance. In the end, all it succeeds at is in amplifying and inflaming that which they're trying to suppress. It doesn't work. How many times do I have to point this out? I also would invite the listener to do the usual thought experiment and ask yourselves this. Do you honestly think big tech would have deplatformed anybody questioning the election results had election night gone the other way and Biden lost? I seriously doubt it. But at the risk of sounding biased, I linked to two overview articles that are talking about all this. One is definitely leaning to right of center. The other is leaning left of center. So you can read them both and you can decide for yourself, which is how life is supposed to work. I also wrote an article about sort of this in general over on the Out of the Cave blog. It's about the collectivist nature of social media platforms and big tech. Trump campaign site to report rejected ballots leaked voter data. So, in addition to the generalized shit show that is the US election 2020, the Trump campaign added to the carnage via a couple of unforced errors. So, I still don't fully understand what happened with the whole Four Seasons total landscaping thing, but I do know that the Trumper 4D chess game seemed a little off on that day, and Four Seasons total landscaping probably got the publicity scoop of the century. But in the online world, which is our wheelhouse, the Trump administration erected a website where voters were supposed to be able to report rejected ballots, but the site had a security flaw and thus leaked private voter data. The Trump campaign launched don'ttouchthegreenbutton.com to support a lawsuit in Arizona having to do with purported rejected votes. It collected reports from the citizenry, including their voter name and addresses, but the site was vulnerable to an SQL injection that enabled attackers to snarf out those voters' social security numbers and date of birth, which is basically identity theft material on a platter. Canada's Bill C-10 would give the CRTC regulatory powers over the internet. The long-awaited dream in Canada to tax social media platforms is closer to becoming a reality with the introduction of Bill C-10. It's an update to the Broadcasting Act of, I think, 1991, which gives the CRTC regulatory powers over the internet. Well, it will now give the CRTC regulatory powers over the internet. And it gave the CRTC about 9 months to get it together and figure out how they're going to do it. Quote, the legislation amends the definition of a broadcasting undertakings being those that can be regulated under the Act, to include online undertaking. content posted by social media users is excluded, end quote. So as you may know, I'm a director to the Internet Society Canada chapter. We've been reviewing C10 in detail ahead of a comprehensive response that we will be tabling to the government and the CRTC. Our early assessment of this is total bag of shit, which is policy wonk speak for fucking terrible. The ISCC Policy Committee is still studying it, but it looks as if content regulators could come under the scope of the CRTC regulation, if only theoretically to start. Remember earlier this year, the BTLR proposed mandatory licensing for content creators. I also link in the show notes page to Michael Geist's overview explaining why C10 will have the exact opposite effect of its stated aims. Michael Geist, of course, he's a University of Ottawa law professor. He covers the internet space in depth. I was on the board with him of CIRA a long darn time ago, 2003. He's a very smart guy and a good source to follow about all of this internet regulation stuff. Also, if you'd like to support a free and open internet in Canada, that's free as in freedom, you may want to consider supporting the work of the Internet Society Canada chapter. I link to that in the show notes. Actually, it's just internetsociety.ca, and head over there and pick up an at-large membership and help support the work of the team there. CRISPR babies can have software bugs in their genes. It's been a while since we covered anything about the CRISPR babies. I think the last time was back in Axis of Easy 125. Those are the gene-edited babies that were first created by a doctor in China. He ended up getting 3 years in prison for that. The science is progressing nonetheless, with a pair of women doctors picking up a Nobel Prize in chemistry for their work on a gene editing tool called CRISPR-Cas9. It turns out that according to a recent study, these gene editing operations can have serious side effects, resulting in cells deleting entire chromosomes. I really don't know what that means, but in plain English, it's described as causing unwanted changes in human embryos. So on the Axis of Easy this week, Salon number 29, a deep dive into the network state, none of us really felt like talking about the U.S. election, so we posted a picture of two ducks standing atop a three-ton pile of horseshit, and then we moved on to what we felt were weightier matters, which was taking a deep dive into what exactly we mean when we say the network state. We're closer than ever to living in one, so we should understand it. That's it for this week, everybody. The show notes, again, at accessofeasy.com/171. And as always, as hard as it is to do, stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane, and stay calm. And we'll see you all next week.